Did I scare you?
To the podcast that answers the only question that matters in horror film, did I scare you? I am your host, Jake Albrecht.
And I am his co-host and America's littlest brother, Finn.
How you doing today, Finn?
I'm good. My nose is really itchy right now.
What do you think? What do you think's going on there, Finn?
I don't know. I have a really greasy nose. It's probably that Italian blood in me.
For those of you who haven't listened before, this is not the podcast where my brother impugns the Italian people. This is the podcast where we two brothers switch off picking horror movies in an attempt to scare the other one. Vinny, you selected the movie this week. What is the name of the movie you selected?
I have selected for us the 1979 Phantasm.
Phantasm is a movie I should have looked up on IMDb before we started recording. Phantasm came out in 1979. We all remember that, Vin.
Yeah. I remember fondly of those years of 1979. You know,
right?
ten years before I was actually born.
It was the birth of our eldest sister. It was written and directed by Don Coscarelli.
Mm-hmm.
Who's also done Phantasm.
And Phantasm 2. And Phantasm 3, and Phantasm Ravager, and
yep.
Phantasm 4 Oblivion.
I just found out Don Coscarelli rented all the filming equipment to make it on a Monday so they could use it all weekend and then return it. I should say he rented it on Friday and always returned it on Monday.
That's awesome.
Uh-huh.
I used to go to Connecticut School of Broadcasting, so I understand that scam. He also did Bubba Hotep. And do you know who stars in Bubba Hotep?
Some chin.
Some chin. You would be right. Our main homeboy, Bruce Campbell.
Not my homeboy.
He's mine. I love Bruce Campbell.
I got no beef, but he's not. I don't claim him. As the kids say.
Okay. Oh, God. So what's he going to ask me? How did I hear about this movie?
I think everyone's heard of Phantasm, right? It's the movie where, like, the balls shoot out.
That's really the only thing that I have going for myself is I probably watched another one of those lovely, not Ty West, but who's the dude that did Cabin Fever? Oh,
Eli Roth.
Eli Roth. He had those countdowns, and it was, like, best kills. And one of those
he's counting down to when his wife would leave him.
That happened.
I can't. She got to star in a bunch of his movies first, though, right, Wink?
So he made money off her some way or another.
Other way around. Let's move on.
Okay. So, yeah, no, one of those kills was that silver ball drilling into a dude's head. And, that's really all I got going on for this. Apparently, Tall Man is, like, I guess, like, a pretty big character in horror cinema, but it's just, like, I've just never crossed paths with these movies.
No. Before I had seen them, I think I used to mix this one up with Scanners. That's the end of that thought. Now I've seen both, and never the twain shall meet.
No, because they're, well, neither of them really have anything to do with each other at all.
They're both kind of more sci-fi than you would think, I guess.
No. I think.
Oh, really?
I think that.
You thinking about how this one ends?
I don't think it's sci-fi. I think it's.
You don't think it's sci-fi?
I think it's more fantasy.
You don't think it's a sci-fi? A bunch of aliens are trying to enslave people and bring them back to their own planet.
Oh, yeah. With the world with the alternative world with the dwarves. Yeah, we'll get to it.
Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Okay, now that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Now, of course, in Scanners, it's the bio. What were those X-Men drugs called, Vin?
Psychomantics?
Yeah, something like that.
Cymantics? I can't remember. Oh, it was such a good word, too. Email check in. Let us know.
Yeah, check out our Scanners episode. That's a good one.
Yeah, I like that one. You know, we're big old Cronenberg stands up in here. But we're not talking about Scanners. We're talking about Phantasm.
I guess.
Yeah.
Vin, have you ever seen Phantasm before?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
I thought I just fucking said that. God damn it.
Who could tell who said what or when? Phantasm was made independently, Vin, and then it became kind of a cult hit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you can tell it's pretty cheaply made. I think for the most part, it's not annoying. I think it's, like, kind of charming in a couple of scenes where it's like, oh, that's cute how you did that.
Yeah, no, I actually enjoy some of the choices for the way they shot the movie. It's definitely, it's different. It's a cut above a lot of other schlocky movies that came out around that time. So there's something different about it.
It did make me wonder at the end when the wind is blowing and the lanterns on the funeral home are swinging back and forth. I was like, well, obviously they couldn't, like, just do that. So, like, before each take, did they just, like, push them so they would swing as it rolled?
Oh, that's pretty cool. I mean, yeah, hey, like, that's that old school, like, practical effects type shit going on right there.
Do you think if they got out of sync, the director would be like, no!
We have to do it again! Like, it's the 15th time! We've been doing this for 7 hours!
Finn, I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to say about Scanners Phantasm before we get into it?
That's a Freudian slip right there, which makes me believe that Jake wishes that we watch Scanners again instead of this movie. No, I have absolutely nothing else to fucking say about this. I guess let's get into it. I'm drunk. Let's do this.
There was also a guy in this who looked kind of like Michael Ironside. I feel like that doesn't help either.
That's what the tall man is. Yeah, he.
No! Sad Paul Heyman.
Oh! They both look like fucking Ironsides.
So anytime you see a poster for this, I'm like, there he is, Michael Ironside. And that Scanners that's called something different for some reason.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is going to be a trip. I don't know if this is going to be a treat for you folks or not, but we're gonna have fun either way, you know, we always know how, so let's start into casting the movie, huh?
Alright, we got annoying little kid.
Correct, yeah, or sometimes he's the little brother.
We got dickhead older brother.
Yeah, see, that's why that makes sense.
We got his friend, the ice cream man, sad Paul Heyman, sad because, in case you don't know if you're not a wrestling fan, Paul Heyman is a guy who's bald up top, but has a ponytail in the back, so it's a very specific look.
Yeah, Paul Heyman was pretty massive as a promoter for ECW back in the day, but what a lot of people don't know is ECW was more of an independent side-off for WWF.
Why are you going into...
Because I'd rather talk about...
Don't go into a monologue about ECW, which you don't even know that much about, frankly. Let's get out of here.
Wasn't that what it was? It wasn't really... Like,
here's what I want to talk about, because that has nothing to do with anything. Vinny, this guy, because of his haircut at the time, he could be anywhere from 25 to 50, and there's really no way to tell.
To be that bald on the top, too, you know?
Well, because they didn't... they didn't have stuff to grow it back then. So if you went bald, it was it. You're fucked. It wasn't like, oh, let me go to the doctor and, like, maybe there'll be side effects. It was like, you live your life like this now, freak.
As I'm, like, you know, pushing and pulling my hair back and being like, thank you so much for being here all my life.
Yeah, because our grandfather is bald. I always assumed it was coming for us, but, like, I don't know, man. I'm heading into 40 and it's holding strong.
Yeah, I look at Dad's head and it's like, he still has his hair. I mean, he's got the widow's peak going, but it's just like, I think that we were just blessed with his dad's hair follicles. His side, you know, because that grandpa,
I don't know how you're doing follicles either.
That's what it is. A little
redundant there, buddy.
Hair follicles. It's the same thing, isn't it? No.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's a hair is made of follicles. What are you doing, man?
I don't know. Anyways, what else we got?
If you have another drink, do you think you'll get sober? Is there a way where it comes back around?
I think if I have another drink, I'll fall asleep right on this couch.
I already don't have much faith in you. Finn, let's go to the movies.
No, you forgot to talk about the other people casting.
Oh, fine.
Yeah?
There's some blonde.
Yeah, the lavender lady.
There's a little blonde with an old lady who's a psychic.
Yeah. Why? I don't know. What does she have to do with the story? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it's a one scene.
And then we got the tall man.
I mean, yeah, that's what they call him. I, you know, I guess he's tall.
They call the tall man. He's like the undertaker slash like caretaker of like the mortuary.
I'll be honest. They shoot him in slow motion a lot, and he looks pretty cool when they do.
Yeah, he's very menacing. I think this.
He's always kind of like sauntering around like Sasquatch too.
Yeah, yeah, I like him. I get it. That's why they made more than just one movie out of this. But for now, let us go to the movies. Let us sit in and watch Phantasm.
In the opening scene, an attractive blonde woman wearing a lavender-colored dress is, they say, making out with the man at a local cemetery. She's up top. That top's off. She rocking it. He comes immediately.
He's trying to hold back, be a big guy, but as soon as she popped that top, he's like, oh, too late.
Vinny says he has a Fu Manchu mustache. I'm not sure, but it's definitely 1970s facial hair.
He's got that, like, handlebar mustache.
I definitely wouldn't call it that, but because it's not, like, curling around like Rowley Fingers.
No, I mean, that's sure. It could be interpreted in different ways. When they say handlebar, it's like motorcycle.
But they, speaking of Rowley Fingers, she uses her fingies to grab a dagger and stab him right in the chest.
See, that could have went either way. You could have said, what'd she do with those fingers?
So just wrap around the dagger, Vin. Plunge it right into his heart.
Well, that's good. Although he might like the other end, but anyways, yeah, that dude's dead.
Vin, then we cut to, like, we go through the whole title card and everything, mm-hmm. And then we see a funeral home, and people are talking, and we don't know who at first. They do a lot of that in this movie. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, it's a lot of, like, behind closed doors talking, and you're just kind of like, it almost feels like they continue a conversation, and you, like, walk in halfway through, and you're like, what's going on, everybody?
Yeah, so it's basically Dickhead, older brother, and Sad Paul Heyman, and they're going to their friend's funeral. And the long and short of it is just like, what a bummer he's here. And Dickhead, older brother, didn't let his younger brother come to the funeral because he thought it would freak him out. But the younger brother shows up in a motor bike.
A dirt bike.
Yep. And he's just like tooling around the cemetery. And the bike keeps cutting on and off.
Yeah, which makes you go, okay, is this like, is this graveyard like causing like some disturbance in his like his dirt bike, you know? It's like, nah, maybe that thing's just a piece of shit.
Vinny, I'm looking closer at this synopsis and I'm afraid we're on our own.
No.
I'm afraid so.
Jake, you're left here with a drunk Vin. I only know like maybe 60% from here.
They're just like, Sad Paul Heyman, a family man and ice cream vendor, joins the brothers in their suspicions about the local mortician. Uh-oh. Yeah, about 50 minutes into this movie.
Oh, fuck. Okay. All right. Well, so the funeral processions, like, continue. You know, like the Dickhead brother and Sad Paul Heyman are like pallbearers at this man's funeral.
Yeah, when they take off, the motorbike kid is spying from the bushes, and he sees the tall man, as everyone likes to call him apparently, just kind of like one-arm the casket and toss it in the back of a hearse.
Yeah, that Undertaker strength.
Yeah, meanwhile, dickhead older brother goes down to the mausoleum. This one's pure white. There's no rats down there or anything, Vin.
I've been in how many mausoleums have you been in?
Zero.
I've been in one. It was in
How did you escape?
Well, it wasn't easy. No, I went in one that was in Sleepy Hollow.
That's why did you say it like that?
Do you really want to know?
No.
Okay. Anyways, I mean, like, the Rockefellers are, like, apparently buried in that that fucking graveyard, and they showed us, like, these mausoleums and whatnot. They are. They're all made out of, like, this marble and stone. It's pretty cool.
So, if I can report back on what you decided to go on there.
Uh-huh.
You've been in a mausoleum. They're made of marble.
Yeah.
There's two paragraphs on that.
Uh-huh.
All right, then. Well, if I was editing this paper, I'd put a big red X right through all of that.
That's a real red card, good note kind of moment right there, huh?
Yeah. I was really just talking about it because of our previous experience with mausoleums in the movie Mausoleum.
Oh, where that one's like a dank cellar and with rats like infesting it?
Yeah, that's it. You got it this time.
All right, sweet. Well, get back to the movie.
All right, so dead older brother is in the mausoleum going to take a look at his parents' bodies because they're in there. They died recently-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And he hears a bunch of weird scratching in the walls.
Yeah, not good. That would definitely...
Yeah, it goes on for kind of a while, too.
Yeah, that would freak me out.
All right. The brothers are heading home, then, and it seems like the little guy is the one driving the car. Is that right?
No, that's later.
That's, like, almost immediately after this.
I guess so. Maybe he is driving the car. I don't know. I didn't pay attention to that.
Oh, God, Vin. Yeah, he gets out of the driver's seat, and then he immediately gets under the car going at it with a socket wrench.
Oh, yeah. He does, like, yeah, tune up the car. It's weird. It's funny how, like, the dynamic between, like, the brothers is just, like, the older shithead brother. He just wants to be, like, a musician and just, like, he wants to skip town, ride bicycles, where it's like the younger brother, he like rides dirt bikes and fixes like cars and shit.
Yeah, he's like fixing up this muscle car, essentially.
He's more or less like the one that took on the role of being the man in the house after the parents died.
Yeah, if you say so. All right, so it says here that the older brother is 24 and the younger brother is 13. Fine, whatever.
Sure.
All right, as the little guy is under there, like, going at it with his socket wrench, because he said, like, oh, the panels are loose or something. It was something that didn't make sense, but it was like, whatever, he needs to get under the car.
I don't know shit about cars, so sure.
The older brother has a conversation with the dude where at full volume he's like, yeah, I've had to take care of my little brother since my parents died, but I think he's old enough that I can ship him off to an aunt and take off out of here.
Yeah, and, like, meanwhile, like, the little brother can kind of hear that, like, what?
He's like, what the fuck?
What did I fucking do? I'm the only one that provides in this house, dickhead.
Yeah, he's like, where's the socket wrench that reattaches my heart?
Yeah, so it's like, I guess dickhead older brother's plan is he wants to skip town and, like, you know, leave behind, like, little brother.
Yeah. All right, so his plan, Vinny, what would you do if you heard this news?
I mean, I would probably confront, I mean, if this was, like, me and you, I'd confront you. I'd be like, the fuck, dude?
Well, that's fucking ridiculous. What you should do instead is ride your bike down the street to an old lady psychic.
Okay, where's my nearest psychic?
Barely down the street. And there's a pretty cute blonde girl there that ushers you in.
Yeah, she's like the same age, so it's like you get kind of like this vibe of like, you know, maybe he like he's there for the fortune telling, but you could tell about like maybe 70% of it was just like, I just want to see that cute blonde.
Yeah, so the blonde's like, ah yes, she was expecting you, and ushers him inside. Then she sits him down. And she's like, I will speak for grandmother. And he's like, all right, well, can you tell her? And she's like, she can hear.
Yeah, she's this gangly old looking lady with like a bunch of like drabs on her, and she's got like those Benjamin Franklin bifocals, but they're like sunglasses.
Yep. And she's kind of looking at him, I don't know, like, let's call it like mischievously.
Yeah. I already know what you're going to say.
So, little brother essentially says, like, well, I'm afraid older brother's going to leave me behind. And then I guess this comes up a lot because the bot's like, as grandmother has already told you, he won't leave you.
Yeah. And then it's like, it's weird because, like, through them talking about it, we get, like, montages of him, like, following his, like, older brother, like, constantly around, like, stalking him.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah, and in the previous scene, the older brother did say that his younger brother follows him everywhere.
Yes. Yeah, it's...
Okay.
I mean, I get it. I used to do that, too, when I was young.
Not like that.
Right,
I hope. Based on certain things he sees later. They've got a new idea on how to approach this problem, though. They take out a mystery box and they tell him to put his hand in. And he's like, why would I do that? And they're like, it's going to be hilarious. Just do it. So he does, and he's immediately like, oh, my fucking hand hurts.
And they're like, no fear. And he's just like, what are you talking about? He's shaking that box all over the room, trying to smash it. And he's just like, it won't come off. It's eating my hand.
Vinny, it's not scanners, but this is also some Professor X style training here.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, literally, the little blonde girl's just like, we're trying to train your mind and, you know, and basically prepare you. No fear. Think no fear. And it's like,
yeah,
it's
so he thinks of the sweet t-shirts that are gonna come out in 20 years. And then he manages to get his hand out of there, and he said, my hand hurt in the box. She said, it was just in your mind. The box only makes you feel what you imagine. And he says, really?
Well,
can I take that box home and maybe a picture of you?
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, why do you visit my grandma when you should be visiting me?
I'm here to return your box. It's all sticky.
Don't put your hand in that box. Up top. My hand's sticky.
Oh, God, I forgot to wash my hands. He fucking steps back and he puts like his money on top of the box, and the box and the money disappear.
Because why not? That's the fucking. I can accept that the box is magic, but this old lady can psychic money away.
Yeah, I don't know. She's like the most power. She's more powerful than this tall man.
Seems that way.
I guess so. It's hilarious, though. But I guess they, like, disappear the box so he doesn't try to steal it and do awful things to it. And then we get, like, a glimpse of, like, the old lady and the blonde-haired girl, and they just look at each other and smile. As if, like, I don't know, they, like, were like, good job, we fucked up that kid again. Just, like, every time he comes in, we just find a new way to fuck with him.
Grandma, why must we keep doing the hand in the box trick? Trust me, that fucking freak's going to pay us $50,000 to fuck that box.
That's the real story I want to know. Not about this, like, Mortician and his fucking dwarfs or whatever.
She's like, look at this, newspaper clipping. It says, young pervert inherits money when parents die. And she's like, Grandma's playing the long game.
As she looks into the camera, just like nodding, it's like, you know he's coming back to fuck that box. You know.
Babe, speaking of fuck that box. Well, their dickhead brother takes off. Finn, where do you think most of this movie takes place based on like the scenery?
I would say It looks pretty woodsy, so I was thinking like probably around our burbs, right? You know, like maybe Vermont.
Seems something like that, right?
Yeah,
All of a sudden, dickhead brother pulls into a desert saloon.
Yeah, apparently I read that this movie has been filmed in like multiple locations, but a lot of it's like California.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, he ends up in a saloon and he's drinking alone, but not for long.
Yep, because he sidles up next to that blonde from the first scene. No dagger
Yeah.
yet that we see.
Uh-oh. That's not a good sign.
He's like, "Your place or mine?" And she's like, "My place is the cemetery. Let's go."
Yeah, that's questionable. They saddle up to the cemetery and they're walking along and older brother's like, "This is kind of creepy." And she's like, "I find it romantic." And it's like, "Nope, still creepy." And you know what? You definitely don't look like a girl that would say that. You're not really goth.
Yeah, well, she was kind of playing it off like nothing else to do with this town other than fucking a cemetery, am I right?
I know that's why there's so many condoms near the headstones.
I mean, like,
Oh.
do you mean unused for people to grab her?
Because like
Or do you mean fully enjoyed?
I mean both sometimes. I mean you leave one behind after you leave a used one where you're like, "Sorry, buddy, here's one for you," you know, whenever you want to wake up.
Anywho, speaking of people enjoying themselves, little brother has been watching since the bar and he's followed them there, and he is watching his brother get a going.
Yeah. But this is one of my favorite scenes though. So the lavender girl, she pulls her top down, shows her breasts, and like, well, this like immediately flashes to the little brother, and he's just like, his face is lit up with so much joy, and he says, "Wow," around the same time that his older brother is like, "Wow,
Yeah.
wowee."
At the same time, then a little Jawa hops out of the bushes and scares him. The little brother goes running past the making out couple, going like, "Ah!" His brother comes up, underwear in mouth, which is like a very like it's so immature. It's such a like 12-year-old's like idea of sex to be like, obviously, while you fuck, you got the panties in your mouth.
Done that once in my life and then was just like, yeah, I don't gotta do that ever again.
Just like, you know, God gave us fingers for a reason. They're better at pulling stuff. Just imagine like her arms getting tired as she holds the dagger up as he's like, "Hold on, almost got him.
I got it. It's just like
Could you like just scoot up off that tombstone
if you hike your butt up, I'll be able to
a little?
rustle them off a little bit
Almost
faster.
got it up over a hump, then it got caught on a twig.
Oh, you gotta flex your knees straight.
What?
Oh, I lost it. I actually tore your
This doesn't
underwear.
taste like you've washed them recently.
Yeah.
So, anyways, he goes running after his brother, underwear in his mouth.
Yeah, that's a luck.
When they get. He takes his brother back home, and his brother is like, "Oh, you know, like all this crazy stuff's been happening." And all her brother's like, "You're just having a fucking nervous breakdown because our parents died. So, why don't you shut up and go to bed, and I'm gonna go find that blonde."
Yeah, I'm gonna go back to the graveyard and hope she's still laying there naked in the graveyard.
Yeah, I mean, like, how far could she have gotten? I took the underwear.
Oh no, I
What, is
should
she gonna ruin her pants?
shouldn't have left that condom unused on the ground next to that gravestone. He comes back to a horrible sight of a zombie, and he's like, "You snooze, you lose," and then he loses his jaw.
No. I award you no points. Let's move on. Vinny, this is the first that I'm talking about where they kind of make the most of what they got here.
Yeah.
Because we're supposed to understand that the little kid has a nightmare about the tall man.
Yes.
So, like, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the tall man's above him, kind of not, like, having a hard time standing that way because this was done practically.
I mean, like,
and then a couple of figures jump out from under the bed and, like, grab him. But again, like, this is a bed just out in the open. It's in the dark somewhere.
It's kind of a cool shot. Like, it's literally, like, the bed alone outside with, like, no, it's the dwarfs. There's two dwarfs on each side, like, wrestling
yeah,
him. Yeah, their job was, like, wrestling him with, like, the tall man above him.
I'm not gonna lie. Some of the imagery in this movie is very good.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And this is one of them.
I will award points in, like, certain areas of this movie. But then I will deduct points in areas of which that I lost interest and or idea of what the fuck we're doing in this movie.
All right, the synopsis isn't helping me, but he goes back, the girl's missing. He tries the bar the next day, she's not there. He asks the bartender, he's like, hey, is there any chance that girl came back in here with no underwear? Asking where I was. The bartender's like, didn't go great, huh?
It didn't go so great, man. Yeah. You know what? I did see her down the block. He looked like some shambling man with, like, who was missing a leg and an arm was, like, with her.
What the fuck, man? What do you mean?
Oh, the zombie. That's her new boyfriend now.
I said no to this bit, but you keep going.
I'm going to bring it back from the dead. Get it?
Cancel.
Oh.
Delete. Marcus Spam.
Is it at this point when we get to the next day where he's chilling out on his French porch?
I don't know, man, but let's just talk about it
because
okay. It's wild.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
His buddy, the ice cream truck guy, comes up. He pulls up. They start jamming out of guitars on the front porch. They stop in the middle of one of their songs to both go like, at the same time.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It kind of reminds me of I Think You Should Leave bit, where they did the Johnny Cash thing where he's just like, just roll with me, we got this.
A lot of this movie has a lot to do with that song. There's guys under the ground, maybe they use their bones as money.
They use their bones and skin as money.
Yeah. Sad Paul Heyman says, man, we are hotter than love. We're just like, ugh. And also, that's what that kid wrote on that box when he took it home.
That's my hot love box. Oh, jeez.
All right, the kid at some point is working on his car, and then one of the little Jawas comes up and knocks it down on him. I presume nearly crushing him to death.
If he wasn't so small.
Then he stabs at his brother's foot.
No, he takes, like, the hammer that he was working on, and he smacks his brother in the foot, of which his brother is not wearing steel toe, and his brother goes, "Yowch!" Like it's a Scooby-Doo cartoon.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens. Then he tells his brother again there's something weird going on. His brother's like, I don't believe you.
Yeah, he's like, dude, this tall man is after me. Like, you gotta believe me.
He's like, there's a bunch of creatures on this car. And he's like, yeah. Do you think it's the mentally handicapped kid down the street? Those are not the words he uses.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, you know, he did say something mentally... He did say something to deconstruct his brother mentally when he was chasing after him in the graveyard, too.
I don't remember that, but let's move on. Alright, annoying kid's got a new idea. He's gonna break into the old funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
He does!
Great!
Yep, then he breaks the window to get down in the basement. Okay.
Yeah, well, he's, like, doing this, like, peeky-poo type thing where he's, like, sticking his head in, and you can see there's still jagged bits of that window, like, from the top, and I'm like, Don't cut your head, man. Like, that looks dangerous.
I would love if this is like the bit in The Nice Guys where Ryan Gosling punches the window and then immediately hits an artery and passes out.
That's awesome. I didn't know that happened. I gotta watch that movie.
So he hides down in the basement, the tall man's walking around, and some guy with like a big old mustache.
That's we are to assume through context clues that this is a mustachioed friend who was fucked and stabbed to death earlier in this movie.
Wrong. This is some other guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is the janitor-looking type dude.
Yeah, they call him the cemetery caretaker in these notes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Okay.
All right. The kid ends up in the mausoleum. The caretaker comes up from behind him, and he starts giving him a sleeper hold. Vinny, what stops him?
Well, we hear some whirring sounds, and then we see this giant metal ball floating in the air, coming at them at rapid speeds. And, well, if it wasn't for the little boy to munch on the freaking graveyard caretaker's arm so hard that caused him to bleed in his fucking mouth to let him go, well, then that metal ball would have probably stabbed the little brother in the head instead of the caretaker.
Yeah, he goes full Dawn of the Dead on this guy.
Yeah. So
then he drops down, the metal ball shoots out some razors, goes right into this dude's head, and then a metal dick shoots out of the back of this ball and pisses out his blood onto the floor. Vinny, he dies, falls down, and the movie, being anatomically correct but pretty gross, also makes him piss himself while he's laying there.
That's why I texted you. I said, is that piss or blood? Because, like, that's a lot of, like, liquid coming out from the bottom half of this man.
Yeah, because, you know, you as a toilet-trained human are constantly holding piss and shit back with your muscles. So when you die, your muscles are just like, don't need to do this anymore, out it comes.
I just think of South Park, the chef episode.
I think it's pretty wild that this movie out of Eddie is like, no, I'm going to get real with you about dead bodies.
What I mean, like,
this one where they're like, I'm shrinking corpses to make them slaves on my home planet. Spoiler alert.
I mean, like, it's the 1970s, man. There was no, like, rules yet.
Yeah, it's wild. All right. The kid goes to hide, right? He manages. The tall man chases him into a room. He shuts the door on his hands, but the figgies are still kind of going like, meh, like up over his head.
Yeah, he's
so
got
he
like
slices
this.
He slices him off with the big Bowie knife, and a bunch of yellow liquid shoots out. Not piss this time.
Yeah, no, this is like some yellow goopy, like quagmired fucking blood.
Yeah, it looks like somebody liquefied lemon meringue pie and it's shooting out of his fingies.
Gross. I was going to say, it looks more like vanilla pudding.
This kid grabs a fingy and takes it home. He puts it in his own box, which he tried to make into the mystery box, but just wasn't the same. And he got paper cuts all over his dick.
So he's like sitting on the staircase, guarding this box with a shotgun on his lap as the box, like every once in a while, is thunking back and forth.
Yeah, because we're in the part of this movie that's sponsored by the National Rifle Association. Where suddenly guns fill in for everything, including hammers. Are you ready?
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. Like, because you want to talk about it gets wild? It gets real wild from here on out. Firstly, the brother comes home. He takes the gun from his little brother and discharges all of the shells out of the shotgun as he's like, what the fuck are you doing?
He said, I have something in this box that's going to prove I was right about the tall man. He opens the box. It takes a long time. Vinny, I'm like, there's not going to be anything in that box. Squeals things where you're like, oh, you're crazy, kid. I'm wrong. There's a figure in there and it's moving.
Yeah, and immediately the brother, like, he doesn't do a double take. He closes the box and looks up and he goes, I believe you.
Yeah. Oh, it says here that's embalming fluid. That makes sense.
Oh, see, I don't know. I've never cut open a dead body before, so.
Me neither. Anyways,
They'll
they
never
shut the
know.
box, and then all of a sudden, Vinny, we're back in Critters. Because the older brother has to pretend it's turned into something inside of there because it's growling, but he's just kind of tossing himself all over the place erratically. And they're knocking over everything in the
That's one strong finger you must be thinking. No, they end up opening that box. It's some fucking, like, insect, hairy insect looking thing.
Yeah, it looks kind of like the Critters, honestly.
Yeah, it was kind of wild. That thing flies around, and then, yeah, we have to do a lot of miming.
Yeah, there's a lot of like them holding it. They try to put it down the garbage disposal.
Yeah, it doesn't work. That's when sad Paul Heyman enters the room.
Yeah, he's just
The
like
crowd cheers and laughs. Like it's a Seinfeld.
he does his Kramer thing. He goes to the fridge, he takes some food out.
Hey, I'm here.
He's like, hey, older brother, it's a hot one today. You want to help me? Because you're real good at crowd control.
Yeah, for the ice cream.
Yep. The thing flies out of the sink and attacks him. It's like kind of a wasp thing now.
Yeah, it's crazy. They take one of like a jean jacket and whatnot, and then stuff it down like the freaking garbage disposal,
And
and
stab it with a knife at the same time for good measure.
yeah, they double kill
Yep. Sad Paul Heyman's like, what's happening?
it. I no longer care about my ice cream business anymore.
So they tell him the deal with the mortuary, all the shit that's going on up there. So they're gonna investigate with guns. The dickhead older brother starts giving a speech where he hands a rifle to his little brother. He says, here, listen, don't take that out unless you mean to shoot, and don't shoot unless you mean to kill.
Yeah, he says if you're gonna point a gun at a man, make sure you mean to shoot and kill. Do not shoot to harm. That's bullshit. I'm like, what? What are we doing? I mean, I get it. It is supernatural essential, like the world that we're living in, but like, what the fuck, man?
Ivy. That night, he decides he's going to try to leave his brother behind. He's going up to the mortuary to investigate with a gun.
Yeah.
He's almost immediately attacked by a ghost car.
Oh no. In which they have to
There are
say
ghost cars all over this highway. His brother pulls up in the muscle car and he hops in. The little brother is driving. I told you, Vin.
Yeah, the music gets like fucking wild from here. Some real 70s like jamming going on.
They let the car drive up because he's the older brother says, let it get close, like slow down, and then I'll shoot at it. He tries, then pulls up beside them, and again, there's nobody driving it. He decides to just start like unloading on this thing, which is crazy because if it is a ghost car, what's that gonna do?
Well, the good news is, Jake, through all of his efforts, eventually the ghost car does like lose and end up crashing into like a tree.
Yeah, and it's not technically a ghost car, Vin, because someone was driving it. It was a little Jawa, so they couldn't see him. Vin, how's the Jawa know? How's he know where he's going? He can't see over the steering wheel.
So I imagine when he pulled up, they couldn't see his little middle finger when he flipped them off next to him.
Vin, how did they shoot through the steering column and get that guy?
I don't know. I assume like when they shot the hood of the car, like some of the shells went through and like hit him, and he's like, "Oh."
All right. They take the hood off, and the Jawa is the friend from the first scene, but he's been crushed into little size.
You may be wondering, Maybe we're going to get to the bottom of how these dwarfs are made.
No, no. Not really.
not really.
All right. They call up Sad Paul Heyman, and their new plan is if they kidnap the tall man, he'll tell them what's up. They decide to take the little brother to an antique shop we've never heard of before.
Yeah. This is when...
So Sad Paul Heyman drives him there. We meet two unaffiliated blondes. They have nothing to do with the rest of this.
Yeah, I don't... What? Because, like, I'm like, why, how, who, what, what's going on? I've lost track entirely.
I know what's going on. Don Oscar, whatever, pulls up to a Dairy Queen and was like, oh my god, you girls are so cute. Has anyone ever told you you should be in a movie?
And they're like,
and then he was like, shit, I gotta write something for them. maybe there's an antique store.
He's like, you don't talk so much. You get a couple of lines.
I think in the antique store, immediately, there must be an item with the blue halo around it because the annoying kid goes and finds it. And it's an old photo of the tall man from the 19th century. Then it kind of like, he moves around in the photo and does a close up. This is the second one where I'm like, damn, that's a good shot.
Yeah. I mean, this is another thing that, you know, in the movie It, well, actually, both Its, all three Its, because I'm talking about the television series too, ripped off.
Right, all four Its.
Because it's a three-parter for the TV series? No.
Oh, no, because of the Bozo, the, or no, Homie the Clown sketch.
Homie the Clown. Oh. That's what your whack ass gets.
You all float down here, homie. Anyways. The kid immediately makes the blondes try to drive him back into town. But as the ice cream guy was driving back to his friend, there's some scratching in the back. So as they go down the road, they find the ice cream truck turned over. Or at least a truck turned over. I mean, they couldn't afford to flip that ice cream truck.
They couldn't, no. So then little brother gets out to investigate the truck.
Yeah, he tells the blondes to stay there. He goes and looks, and the body is missing, but there's the yellow embalming fluid everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets back to the car, they're immediately attacked.
Oops.
By a bunch of Jawas.
I wish I knew what else, like, words that those Jawas say instead of just, ooh, teeny.
I think that's it, pretty much.
Just like,
yeah, they're all scrounging for scrap.
Yeah. Try to sell it back to you after they scrap your own car.
Vinny, they chokeslam the kid so hard out the back of the car that he manages to get free.
It's amazing.
Then they roll the car away with the blondes in it.
Uh-oh.
Yep. He goes home and we get like intercuts with his brother. And his brother reacts when he gets home as if he was waiting for him. When it's like, but like... You were expecting him to go to the antique store.
Yeah. This is where, like, my mind was just like, I can't place what the fuck and what's going on. But eventually, at this point, like, the older brother deems, like, it too dangerous for little brother. And he decides that he needs to lock him away and deal with this himself.
So he locks him in the room and then puts a screwdriver in the frame so he can't open the door.
Yeah, correct.
The kid is the future creator of the TV show MacGyver, though.
So he has a shotgun shell, a hammer, and what the fuck was the third item? It looks like a pin or something, right?
Pretty much. And what he does is he empties the shell, he puts it... Like, so when the hammer hits, basically the gunpowder explodes the door.
He tapes the fucking shotgun shell to the hammer with the pin on, like, the ignition point when, like, you would pull the trigger. And, yeah, apparently that was enough to, like, explode the lock on the door.
Yeah, but only to explode enough of the door in order to put his hand through and get the screwdriver out. Not enough to harm him. That would be crazy.
Yeah, whereas, like, when he, like, tries to... Let's forget about the fact that he probably blew the socket out from the arm that he swung the hammer with, and probably blew like his kneecap out from like the explosion of shells that came out.
Yeah. He opens the door to go chase his brother, but the tall man's waiting for him there. Is this when he starts saying, like, you played a good game?
Yes, yeah, because, like, at this point, he's hallucinating. The tall man is fucking with him in his dreams again.
Is that what happens?
Kind of, yeah. It's not really, like, laid out, but it's implied that, like, the tall man can fuck with, like, their minds.
It says here that he snatches the kid and puts him in the hearse, and then they drive there, but the kid shoots the tire out.
What?
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, yeah, because he ends up with a gun.
Oh, yeah, he jumps on a car before it hits a tree, right?
Yeah, and the car explodes, and he's got, like, this shot where he's got the gun in his hands like he's James Bond, and I'm just like, the NRA.
I told you, this is the part of the movie where guns fix everything.
It's true. You're right. Okay, so, yeah, the tall man does kidnap him.
Yep. Annoying kid goes into the building, and he sees that his parents' coffins are opened, and there's nothing in there. Whoops.
Uh-oh.
He runs into his brother. Oh, no, I see. At first, a ball is coming at him, right? And it's getting close. He's like,
Yeah.
But then his brother shoots it, and it explodes, because the NRA is awesome, and guns should be out in every goddamn American's hands.
I just want to take note that the vision of, like, these balls looks a lot like if you were to own, like, a Virtual Boy.
Kind of.
Like that red sepia kind of, like, in dark outlines.
Yeah. The little kid tries in his tortured way to tell his brother that their parents are gone, but instead he's like, forget it.
I tried. I don't, like... Emotions are escaping me at this moment.
Sad Paul Heyman shows up, and they're like, you're still alive? And he's like, I've been hiding with the bodies. And they're like, are the blondes dead? And he's like, not only did I free them, I freed some other women. I'm like, wow, that sounds like an exciting scene. Are we going to see it? And he's like, nope.
No. Not at all. He's like, in fact, now I've come into the frame in the story to explain a lot of things to you people of what might be going on.
Meanwhile, there's two dead blondes behind him with knives in their chests. They're like, what did you do, Sad Paul?
It wasn't me. They were dead when I got there. I'm a fucking coward. I'm sorry.
I ate a fucking Choco Taco while they did it.
I sat in the corner crying in the Choco Taco. Well, he stabbed him to death, and they looked at me as I pooped my pants, and they were just like, Ortini, and walked away.
Which in their language means that usually happens after they die.
So they probably deemed him already dead.
Alright, annoying kid, dickhead older brother, and Sad Paul Heyman go in another room, which is a large open area,
yes,
filled with storage barrels containing several dwarves, as well as two long poles.
Yeah, they're two, like, thing, like, the, yeah, they're two rods, like, hanging out, like, sticking from the ground, and a bunch of 55-gal drums.
Yeah. Annoying kid sticks his head through and sees a cross between Mars and hell, and then comes back, and he's like, oh, I get it. It's for their planet. They have to crush them down and then bring them there as slaves for the heat. And the other guy says, yeah, that makes sense. And I'm like, what?
He says that and I literally like rewound it and I'm like, no, it still makes no sense to me.
You got a glimpse of this planet for 10 seconds and you put it all together.
I figured it out. It was so obvious.
They're like, oh, obviously they crush corpses down to small sizes because of the heat. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? If I'm like, oh, it's going to be hot, I'm not like crush it smaller to get through. What are you saying?
Are they crushing them down and then shipping them out to that planet to turn them into dwarfs?
I don't know, but also they say the guy still weighs the same even though he's smaller. So it's not going to help with the gravity, Eddie.
It'd be kind of funnier if like they shoved him down there and they're just like, because of like the gravity, it turned them into dwarfs. Like, you know what?
It's not. That's not as good a theory as any.
That's it.
I would love to see that.
And that's how we found out how Jawas are made.
<Ba-da-ba-da>. Anyways,
they'll come back in numbers.
The lights go off in the building. Annoying kid and dickhead older brother disappear. Sure.
Uh-huh.
Alone in the small room, sad Paul Heyman decides on a gamble to shut down the humming two-pronged gateway, slamming his hands on top of the poles. Yeah.
No, he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. He just looks at it and he's like, hmm. And
he thinks of his tuning fork, which he was using on his guitar, so he's like, ah, that'll do it. So he puts his hands on top and it creates a vortex.
Yeah, and then just starts sucking all the freaking drums in, and he's just like, oh, shit. But it's okay. He makes it out of the room.
Meanwhile, on that planet, they're like, huh, is that more slaves than we ordered?
It's just like these drums, like, pelting them, and it's just raining from, like, the sky, like, oh, no!
Like, you don't want more slaves than work. The slaves get bored and angry then.
Slumbo.
shit. All right. Don't worry, guns solve everything.
I just think of Warcraft with the peons. If you don't give them enough tasks, they just wander around and they're just like, what? Something be doing?
Yeah. All right, easy there. You sound George Lucas racist now. Alright, outside the mortuary, sad Paul Heyman encounters the woman in lavender who stabs him to death with the dagger. Damn, yep. He didn't even get to fuck first. Right before he dies, she says, have you seen my underwear?
Well, what's weird is, okay, so in the beginning, we get flash cuts of her, like, going back and forth with the tall man. And I thought that the tall man puppets her, but I think I'm pretty 100% sure that she is the tall man.
I don't know if I'm 100% sure, but it seems as valid a reading of whatever the fuck is happening as anything else, man.
Is that he allures drunk, like, dudes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Annoying kid and dickhead brother come upon the scene and discover the woman in lavender, who changes into the tall man, yet another replica.
So, tall man's plan is to get some strange, plunge that dagger, create bodies, and turn them into dwarf slaves.
Yeah. But anyways, they run away as the mortuary collapses in on itself, and by that I mean it turns a shade of blue for a second.
Does that like a little blip, like whoop?
Yep. So we're supposed to believe it's disappearing like the House of Amityville Horror.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, Vin, remember when we did that?
Yeah, that movie sucked.
I don't remember much about it, honestly.
Mm-mm. Anywho.
Wait, I remember now. They fuck up Jesus in that church.
They do, and then he loses that money, but it's in that dragon.
Yeah, it's crazy. That movie fucking sucked. Anyways, back home, annoying kid, a dickhead older brother, distraught over the death of sad Paul Heyman. Plot on a way to stop the tall man, which turns into, of course, the abandoned mine down the street.
Okay, yeah, we'll go along with you, I guess.
Dickhead older brother sneaks out of the house to go to set up the trap and says here, although that's not what they say before he leaves.
No. No, because when we get to that trap in like a couple of scenes from here, I literally texted Jake and said, when the fuck did they set that up?
Yeah. So the tall man shows up and he chases the kid down towards the mine shaft, thank God.
Yeah.
This is another part where he says, like, you played a good game, boy.
He loves saying, like, boy and, like, a boy, which is, like, almost, like, borderline, you know, racist.
No, it's not. It's because he's a little boy, you fucking weirdo.
I mean, look at him, though. Come on, Jake.
What the fuck?
You're telling me that guy wouldn't
he's
be...
He's from a different planet. They have no conception of races. We're all slaves to them.
Sure he does. He's freaking masterminding dwarves. Racist.
Fucking Jawas. Anyways. The kid hops over the mineshaft and the guy falls in, and then a bunch of styrofoam boulders fall on top of him.
What's hilarious is later when we get back to the house, literally the little boy's like, I don't think those rocks are gonna hold him.
Suddenly he wakes up then, and he just keeps repeating, the rocks aren't gonna hold him, to Sad Paul Heyman, who is back, and by an open fire.
Uh-huh.
Sad Paul Heyman's like, you're just having a bad dream since your brother died in a car accident last week. Then we cut to the kid looking at his gravestone, and we're like, oh, man.
You're like, oh, way to shoehorn in, like, the shittiest ending.
Sad Paul Heyman says, let's go on a road trip. Anywhere, it doesn't matter. That guy's waiting for you in the closet upstairs. The kid says, what? And he says, I said grab your stuff.
So the little boy goes upstairs, and he's, you know, getting ready to go. He's looking at a picture of his brother. And then, yeah, out of the mirror is the tall man who says, boy!
Yep.
And
then
snatches
he bursts through, and a bunch of arms pull the kid into some darkness. It's over!
Uh-huh. Yeah. I like that shit.
I do not.
I don't either.
You selected the movie this week. It falls upon you to ask me the eternal question. Please proceed.
Did I scare you?
No.
Did I scare you?
Finn, did it scare you?
God, no.
It's not great, but, like, there's stuff in it that's okay.
It's a bit of a bore. But, yeah, I agree. Some of the things that they picked with the movie definitely kept me pretty interested. Some of the scenes that were shot, I just like how, like, some things looked. And I liked how menacing the tall man was. And I wanted to know a little bit more about that silver ball, which I believe in the, like, other sequels, they kind of like zone in on that a little bit more.
I pray to God we never fly down.
Oh, little do you know of my next bit.
You'll have to wait a little bit. I don't think it was great. I thought they did pretty well on a low budget. As I said, I thought there was some good imagery. Some of the acting's bad. Some of the writing doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sounds about right for movies back in that time.
I'd say a solid C-plus to B-minus movie. Am I sad I saw it? Not exactly. Would I recommend it to anyone? Probably not.
I think I gave it a 2.5 stars on my letterbox, so yup.
Yep. Pretty mediocre.
Pretty forgetful.
We didn't even mention that they had a pretty good score, though. It was, like, very John Carpenter-esque.
Yeah, it's cool. That's what I really enjoyed about it. It's, like, it was John Carpenter-esque, but it really reminded me a lot of, like, that 70s, like, real, like, synthy kind of blurpy music that if you ever...
It was, like, pretty a direct Halloween ripoff.
Sure, sure. But, I mean, if you ever played Zombies Ate My Neighbors, you know what we're talking about. It's, like, that kind of music.
Yep. All right, V, if you were anyone in, not Scanners, in Phantasm, who would you be?
Oh, man. Oh, man, I guess I would probably be the little brother.
Why?
I mean, I don't know. I don't really have a good... It's just like, you know, little brother, big brother. I just like think of like the whole like him like constantly following around his big brother. And I'm like, yeah, that tracks. I did that to you a lot growing up. There was a lot of times that Big Brother told my ass to go upstairs while he was hanging out with his friends. He's like, don't want you around.
I guess I would be the John. No. I guess I would be the ice cream guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sad Paul Heyman.
Yeah. Because I would also get stabbed by the sex demon before I got to fuck it.
Ain't that the way?
I know why she decided the other one. I was like, I gotta get catch me some dick before...
She saw that ponytail and she's like, God, no.
Like, I have standards. I'm a reanimated corpse, but absolutely not.
I am the tall man and I get to decide. Gross. No, not you. Gross.
I think gifable moment.
Oh, mine's the moment when the lavender chick pulls up her shirt and it cuts right away to the little brother's face like oh.
I think the guy moving in the photo is good. Also, maybe the kid hammering the door open with the explosive.
I mean, yeah, let's not bury the lead. That is the gifable moment right there, where it's just like, I feel like I've been locked away. That would have been a good pandemic like gift right there. When, like,
yeah, it's Friday night, I gotta hit the town.
Yeah.
I can't stay in anymore. Yeah,
I'm getting out. Burn!
Alright, then. That's gonna do it for Phantasm for this week. Mm-hmm. Do we have any mail?
We do not.
Alright, then if people did want to mail us, where could they do so?
They can do so by emailing us at our email at disbypod@gmail.com. That's disbypod@gmail.com. Let me do that one more time. disbypod@gmail.com.
All right, Vinny, and if instead they wanted to reach us on Twitter or Instagram?
Our Twitter is disbypod, and our Instagram is didiscareyoupod.
Please write to us. We would love to hear from you. Always enjoy any feedback. All right, Vinny, that is going to bring us to our selection for next week. It is my turn to select. Vinny, what is today?
Well, today is February 5th.
Okay. No, Finn, what is today, Wink?
Oh, today is February 7th.
Right. So what is 1 week from today?
Well, it'll be Valentine's Day.
So, Vinny, we've talked about it before, but we've never actually done it. I think it's time for us to take on a classic. We're going to do 1981's My Bloody Valentine.
Oh, finally. We're finally getting to this one. I feel like we've missed this one quite a many times. There was many times where actually our episodes would have fallen on Valentine's Day.
So someone was named Neil Affleck in this, and I'm like, are they related to Ben? Doesn't seem like it.
No.
Vin, have you ever seen My Bloody Valentine before?
I've seen it once, yes.
Okay, I never have. You kind of bullied me into this, but we're going to do it. So
there's just so many times that we've come close to like these holidays, and we get these chances to do these movies, and it's just like, fuck it. Let's just do it. Let's get it off the table. We'll feel better about ourselves. It's in the can. It'll be done. And then the following week, we got a special treat, so...
All right, then. It looks like this is available on HBO Max, so...
Tight.
Let's check it out there. 1 hour and 30 minutes. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Please watch along at home. Check back with us next week. I would like to give a thank you, as always, to Rebel Escape Pod for letting us use their song Monster for our intro and outro. You've been listening to Did I Scare You? I have been your host, Jake Albrecht.
I am his co-host and America's littlest brother, Vin.
Hey, thanks for the ride, lady.
How you doing, lady? Thanks. Thanks for the ride.
Thanks for the ride, lady.
Thanks for the ride, lady.
Thanks for the ride.
Thanks for the ride, lady.
Thanks for the ride.
Thanks for the ride.
Thanks for the ride, lady.
Never.